You know, man's world, in man's world, through the eon of time and the history of man, there's been many gods. Thousands of different gods that man has endeavored to recognize and realize there's something bigger than himself. And so as we look at history, we see all these different gods, animal gods, sky gods, spiritual type gods. My goodness, there's just an unending list of gods that man has come up with. But thankfully, there is the one true God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has come up to communicate with man in a most wonderful way. And he has a number of names that he's been called that reflect his manner, how he works with people, like Adonai as Lord, Elohim as the Creator, right? Jah, Elan, Shaddai, El Shaddai, God Almighty, Jehovah, Covenant God, Yahweh. We've got those seven Jehovah names, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Nisi, Shalom, Zetnua, Shema, and Ra. I'm sure I mispronounced a number of those. But God's communicating who he is to his people, what he does in different wonderful ways. And yet, when the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, he introduced God as a loving heavenly Father. The great emphasis that he would be a father with children came on the scene in a very big way. So we're going to talk about our loving heavenly Father with you this morning. And I've asked Barney in Oklahoma to share a little bit what's on his heart in light of our Heavenly Father. So, Barney?
Yes, God bless you all. And welcome all those on the conference call, and blessings and greetings to those gathered there at Point Loma Assembly. Happy Father's Day once again. In light of Father's Day, and maybe this especially will ring true for Bob and Jeannie, they have a young one there with them. But when a child is born, he or she takes on similar characteristics genetically of the father and mother. And as the child grows and develops, it becomes even more plainly evident. Maybe you've overheard someone say, he or she looks like him or her. We've probably all said that at different times. And today, in today's world, with the quest to know more about family history and different things, birthplaces, DNA testing has become very, very popular, and it's a test to show specifically your traits of bloodlines and ancestry amongst a wide variety of other things. So in light of our new birth, whose DNA do we now have, spiritually speaking? Knowing God as our Father, he has fathered us, and he has fathered that within us, which is his new creation in us, making us his sons and daughters, which is his spirit. I'd like to read briefly an interesting article I recently read in a Christian devotional called Our Daily Bread. Chris had his blood retested 4 years after his life-saving bone marrow transplant. The donor's marrow had provided what was needed to cure him, but had left a surprise. The DNA in Chris's blood was that of his donor, not his own. It makes sense, really. The goal of the procedure was to replace the weakened blood with the donor's healthy blood. Yet even swabs of Chris's cheeks, lips, and tongue showed the donor's DNA. In some ways, he'd become someone else, though he retained his own memories, outward appearance, and some of his original DNA. Chris's experience bears a striking resemblance to what happens in the life of a person who really receives wholeness and new life in Jesus Christ. At the point of our spiritual transformation, when we trust in Jesus and confess Him as our Lord, we become a new creation according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus encouraged them to reveal that inward transformation and to put off their old self with its way of living and to put on the new self, created to be like God the Father in true righteousness and holiness and to be set apart for Christ. You know, we don't need DNA swabs or blood tests to show that the transforming of power of Christ is alive within us. That inward reality should be evident in the way we engage with the world around us, revealing how we're kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ's sake has forgiven us. Ephesians 4:32. If you want to take your Bible real quick, show you a section here that's always been a favorite, and what a blessing it is. 1 John chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. I believe this is the New International Version. See how great a love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So, to say it again, God is the Father of that which He has created in you, which is His Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what does that enable us to do and to be in this world? And what's the encouragement and the exhortation from God through the Scriptures? Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Wonderfully familiar verse, yet the verses of the Word are always timely. Because all Scripture is God-breathed and given by inspiration of God, right? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the men and women of God may be fully ready for the trip, for the journey. Well, here Ephesians 5, 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved what? Children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, and gave Himself up for us in offering a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. You know, God is in the realm of the miraculous. Sometimes we would say God is the God of the impossible. And He has created within us the ability to walk like His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to exemplify the Father's good nature, His works, who He was. And now, as a result of that new creation within us, and God is our Father, we have the power, we need to just step out of the boat. We have to, like I believe Robert Wilkinson said during the sharing that he did at the weekend there, we have to take a risk. We have to be willing to get out of the boat and walk in faith. Because our Father, our God, our Creator, our whatever name you want to give to Him, He is the God of the impossible. I wanted to close my sharing here this morning with something called God's 26 Guards. A missionary on furlough, he told his true story while visiting his home church in Michigan. While serving at a small field hospital in Africa, every 2 weeks I traveled by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This was a journey of 2 days and required camping overnight at the halfway point. On one of these journeys, I arrived in the city where I planned to collect money from a bank, purchase medicine and supplies, and then begin my 2-day journey back to the field hospital. Upon arrival in the city, I observed two men fighting, one of whom had been seriously injured. I treated him for his injuries and at the same time talked to him about the Lord. I then traveled 2 days camping overnight and arrived at home without incidents. 2 weeks later, I repeated my journey. Upon arriving in the city, I was approached by the young man I had treated. He told me that he had known I carried money and medicines, and he said, "Some friends and I followed you into the jungle knowing you would camp overnight. We planned to kill you and take your money and drugs. But just as we were about to move into your camp, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards." At this, I laughed and said that I was certainly all alone in that jungle campsite. The young man pressed the point, however, and said, "No, sir, I was not the only person to see the guards. My friends also saw them, and we all counted them. It was because of those guards that we were afraid and left you alone." At this point in the sermon, one of the men in the congregation jumped to his feet and interrupted the missionary and asked if he could tell him the exact day this happened. The missionary told the congregation the date, and the man who had interrupted him told him this story. "On the night of your incident in Africa, it was morning here, and I was preparing to go play golf. I was about to putt when I felt the urge to pray for you. In fact, the urging of the Lord was so strong, I called the men in this church, to meet with me here in the sanctuary to pray for you." And then he said, "Would all of those men who met with me on that day stand up?" The men who had met together to pray that day stood up. The missionary wasn't concerned with whom they were. He was too busy counting how many men he saw. 26 men. You know, this is an incredible story and an incredible example of how the Spirit of God moves in behalf of those who love him. If you ever feel such a prodding to pray, go with it. You don't know what it can mean to that person. I think that's a wonderful and touching and moving example of the power of prayer, but also that we have a Heavenly Father who cares, who loves, who will do anything for us. And one of the greatest acts he ever did was in giving the sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think as we move forward during this day, we'll remember God is the God of the impossible. He can do anything, anywhere, anytime. If a missionary in Africa can be prayed for by 26 guys in a church in America, and that testimony comes as a result, glory, hallelujah. Amen. Well, thank you guys for allowing me to share a little bit in my heart today about our new DNA in Jesus Christ and our ability to walk according to the Spirit of God. Amen.
Yep, we got an awesome father. Thanks, Barney, for sharing that with us. I'd like to share a few more verses about our Heavenly Father. And so if you'd like to join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and just look at some of these wonderful verses and see how loving, caring our God is, because He is our Father. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 2 through 4, "Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father," right? Our Father, not our taskmaster, not the great one or the mean one or the overall one, but our Father. "And from the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who can comfort us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And it's interesting here, the emphasis here, that God would be a father unto us and that we would be his sons and daughter. And it says, saith the Lord Almighty. That's a very strong title or name. This is the only place it's used in the New Testament, except 9 times in Revelations. So God Almighty, he's the all-powerful, almighty. And he is our Father, and we're his sons and daughters. Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. You see, God wants us to understand and know, have a full assurance of understanding of God as our Father. He's our Father, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The more we see God as our Father, I believe the more we're going to be able to walk out with signs, wonders, and miracles. Because we have that relationship, we have that trust in our Father. Sometimes we think about God, and God is so big and huge. But when we think of him as our Father, it's a little closer to home, a little closer to our heart. A couple more verses here. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. That's our Father. And then finally, this is our theme verse here, 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation or encouragement and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. I see a father being a great comfort to their kids. I don't see a big God, you know, coming down and being that tender, loving person. But a father, I see that. Like I shared with you earlier, we have Susie's little boys with us the last couple of days. And so they have needs. And you know how they let us know that they have needs? They start crying. Especially little Milo, that 2-month-old guy. He's just the cutest little thing. And then all of a sudden, if he has a need, he's just screaming and yelling until he gets fed. So, and we have that privilege to have the tenderness and connection with our children like that. And we got to see God is in that same category of care and love one for another. You know, there's the term Abba Father. We're familiar with that Aramaic word Abba Father as an intimate daddy expression. And I remember about a year ago when we were visiting Tim up in the Bay Area, we went to the local pool. And kids were playing in the pool and stuff. And I would hear some of these little kids yell to their dad, Abba, Abba, come play with me. Abba, Abba, let's swim together. I mean, obviously they were Jewish. And this is what they called their dad, Abba, Father, because it was an intimate relationship they would have. But listen to Galatians 4:6-7. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Father, Father, Abba, Father. Isn't that sweet? Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. These are great realities we really want to hold on to, that God is truly our Father. And our Father has committed himself to us in so many wonderful ways. And there's a wonderful presentation of the Father's love letter. And I've got some copies of this I'm going to share with you, but Jeffrey's going to show us a video of the Father's love letter to his children.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you. And he is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I'm familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son, Jesus. for in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
Love and grace for us, that you knew us from the beginning and you know our end. You have us fully in your hands, Father, and I'm grateful that we can recognize your loving grace extended toward us so that we can live a life full of your love, full of your care, full of who you are to others, that we can be the best examples, that we can reach out with this love that you've loved us and love others and bring them to this wonderful family. So again, thank you for being our Father and loving us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Well, I'll put these back on the welcome table, and you're welcome to take this. It has pretty much all the